We pray. Father, we give you thanks for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we give you thanks for the sending of your Holy Spirit that dwells within us now. We pray now again that you might fill us with your Spirit, that we might be receptive to your word. And we trust that as we listen and hear your word in faith, it will have its good effect upon us. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Do you need some help? You know, a question can be interpreted in a number of ways. Often when someone says, "Do you need some help?" they're offering a little bit of help. They're counting on you to do most of the work. But if there's something that they could assist you with that might be nice, they would be willing to help. But sometimes that question, in fact, is not a question, is it? It's a statement. You do need some help. This is a complete disaster, I can tell. What would be true of the pictures you saw in the children's message, right? Those folks didn't need just a little bit of help. They needed a helper. And so when Jesus tells his disciples that he's going away, but that they should take comfort because he will send the Holy Spirit, he calls the Spirit another helper. Jesus isn't being nice, offering a little help whenever we might happen to need it. Jesus is telling his disciples and telling us, clearly, you guys need some help. It's pretty obvious when you look at the lives of the disciples. When you look at the lives of the disciples, when Jesus was present with them for 3 years, they struggled to understand his words. They often lacked faith. They spent their time arguing about who should have the higher position in the kingdom. They fell asleep at one of Jesus' most critical moments. And we know what happened when he was arrested, how they fled in fear, Peter even denying him. It's pretty obvious that if that is true when Jesus was present with them, we can expect nothing but an utter disaster if he is to leave them alone. But he doesn't leave them alone. He sends a helper. That's the good news of Pentecost, that the Spirit has come to help. And it's a good thing, because without the helper, as we so well heard in the children's message, we would never have faith in Christ. Jesus says in our gospel reading, "The Spirit, the Helper, will bear witness of me." It's the Spirit that brings us to Jesus and gives us faith to believe. We begin to try to get at this with the confirmation kids. We'll give them a slingshot and a soft round ball, and we'll put a big target up, and we'll invite them to shoot the ball at the target, and it's apparent none of them have ever used a slingshot before. Few balls even hit the wall. And the parents are there, and we tell the parents, if they hit the bullseye, if they get it perfect, we'll yell, "Righteous." But if they miss in any way, we yell, "Sinner." The parents kind of enjoy this part of it. Sin is actually an archery term, originally, used to simply mean a missing of the mark. Whether you missed it a little bit or you missed it a lot of bit, to miss the mark meant you were a sinner. And that conveys a little bit of the fact that we're sinners, but it doesn't quite get fully at it, does it? A more complete picture would be to take the confirmand, to put a blindfold on them, to spin them around, to hide the slingshot, and then have the devil come in and say, "I'll give you a piece of chocolate cake if you'll just sit down and forget the whole thing." That's the state that we're born into. That apart from the Holy Spirit, we will never find Jesus. We will never turn to Jesus. We will never believe the truth that he who was dead is now alive. And in him and him alone is the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. You can thank the Holy Spirit for his work in your life to bring you to Christ, to bring you here this morning. The second thing, we would never become more like Christ. We would never walk with Christ in our daily lives. Jesus said, the truth will set you free. But of course, us humans are notorious for knowing the truth, but not living according to what we know. Just compare with what you know to be healthy food with what you actually eat. Or what you know would be soul nourishing, but what you actually watch and listen to. Perhaps it's because the Dallas Mavericks just made it to the Western Conference Finals, but Luka's on my mind. Imagine if Luka Doncic was your basketball coach, and he were to coach you, give you every tip, every insight he's ever gained into basketball. What kind of player would you become? Well, the reality is not much of a better player than you are right now, would it be? Now, you're hearing this from a guy who would shoot baskets in the driveway with his kids, and the kids would say, you know, Dad, you can jump on your jump shot. I said, I am jumping. But now that's quite a bit different. If somehow, in some kind of weird, miraculous way, this basketball spirit of Luka could actually indwell within you and actually begin to change you from the inside out, would actually begin to give you a shot, would actually give you the ability to jump back and hit that three-point, and over time, you would find yourself doing Luka-like things. You may never be Luka, but you would be a whole lot better than you are now. And this is why Jesus tells his disciples, it is better that I go away so that I can send the Holy Spirit to you. For thousands of years, people have held up Jesus as a model to follow, and he certainly is that. But without the help of the Holy Spirit, we no better follow Jesus than we become a great basketball player from watching Luka Doncic on the TV. But the Holy Spirit has come to dwell within us, and it is the Holy Spirit's work that begins to change us from the inside out. It's the Holy Spirit's work that convicts us of sin and brings us back when we lose our way. It's the Holy Spirit that strengthens us in faith through his work through the Word and sacrament so that we may more firmly cling to the promises we have. If you have any love for God's Word, any desire to follow him, you can thank the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit at work in you. But lastly, without the Holy Spirit, without the Helper, the church would wither. Our gospel text began with Jesus telling us the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you also will bear witness. That's the Spirit's work, to bring us to Christ, to indwell us, and now work through us to continue to witness to Christ and to point others to Christ. The Spirit does this in two ways. The Spirit helps us to witness with our works. The Spirit produces the fruit of righteousness within us and good works outside of us. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All attributes that testify to the work of Christ in our lives. Jesus said, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. As the Spirit produces good works within us, he uses those works to point others to our Father in heaven. Jesus said, they will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. Again, it's the Spirit that is awakening and producing that love within us that overflows into love for others. But secondly, the Spirit helps us witness with our words. Jesus said, the time is coming when you will be brought before the authorities. You will be persecuted. You will be asked to give an account. And he says, don't worry about what you were to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you are to say. Our words to us may seem awkward and nervous, but in that moment, the Spirit will give us words that point people to Christ. And it's in this way the Spirit works to ensure that the faith is passed down from generation to generation to generation as the Spirit continues to witness to Christ through the lives of His people. But how do we tap into the Spirit's help? How do we make use of what the Spirit offers us? That's actually a very challenging question. In John 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus he must be born again by the Spirit. Nicodemus says, I have no idea what you are telling me. And Jesus says this in describing the work of the Spirit. He says, the wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. In other words, we can't see the wind, only its effects. We can't control the wind. It's the same with the Spirit. We don't see Him, but we do see His effects. And we certainly can't control Him like a genie in the bottle that we can call upon at will to do our bidding. In fact, there's been a lot of bad theology and a lot of bad practice that has come out of trying to make the Spirit visible, trying to control what the Spirit does. Because of this, there are many who have reacted to that and thrown up their hands and said, I'll let the Spirit do what the Spirit does, and I'll do the best I can in my own strength. But I believe there's a better way. Consider a sailboat. You don't have to have been on a sailboat to know that a sailboat is wind-powered. It's the wind that drives the sailboat forward. But if you've been on a sailboat, or perhaps you've seen America's Cup, the sailboat race, you know there's much to do on a sailboat. The sailboat is completely dependent upon the wind to go. And yet on the sailboat, we're not passive, just doing whatever. There's sails to be raised and lowered. There's shifting of weight from one side to the other. There's tying of ropes and untying of ropes. And actually, it's quite active to be on a sailboat. But in spite of all that activity, if the wind doesn't blow, the sailboat doesn't go. I think that gives us a glimpse of what life is like in the Spirit as we tap into His help. We're completely dependent on the Spirit to work how and when He pleases. And yet it doesn't mean that we're completely passive. God invites us to raise the sails. What does that mean? What could that look like? Y'all, the Spirit works through the Word of God. We raise the sails when we hear the Word of God. And before we hear the Word of God, we pray, Holy Spirit, give us understanding. Give us faith to respond to the Word that we hear. Give us faith to cling to the promises spoken to us. When we fellowship with others, we learn from other believers how to read the sky, the waves, the wind, how to better get in line with what the Spirit is at work doing in our lives. When we come to the Lord's table, we receive Christ's body and blood. We expand our capacity for the Spirit to blow in our lives. And it's true. Sometimes we sense the Spirit blowing clear and strong. And at other times, it feels like we're just dead in the water and we wonder, what is God doing? And yet, in both times, the Spirit is actively at work. God calls us to simply continue to hear His Word, trusting that the Spirit is at work doing what the Spirit needs to do in that moment. And the great assurance is you're not alone in this thing called the Christian life. God's very Spirit dwells in you and is doing a good work. Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:18, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Again, it's a passive command. Be filled. You can't fill yourself, and yet you're commanded to be filled. You're dependent upon the Spirit to blow as the Spirit blows. And so we pray, Holy Spirit, fill us, that our lives might overflow with love and joy and peace. That our neighbor might be blessed, and that our neighbor might turn and seek the God who has done such a great work in the lives of sinners such as us. And so that's how we'll end here, praying for that very thing to happen. We pray. Father, again, you have been most generous, not only securing our salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ, but indwelling us with your Spirit, that we might be drawn to Christ, that we might be empowered to walk in his ways, daily in repentance and being raised up to new life. Fill us now with that Spirit, that in fact our lives more and more would overflow with love and joy and peace that can't be explained in natural ways. Lord, we desire it, that you would be honored, that others would be blessed, that others would be drawn to look to you for a life that lasts forever. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.